Task 2. For questions 11 to 18, choose the best answer, A, B, or C, according to what the speakers say, and transfer your answers to the answer sheet. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the options. 0 is the example.
Back in 1979, I was a night manager of a McDonald's in the South Bronx. And you couldn't get into a worse neighborhood than the South Bronx in New York City in 1979. There were burning buildings, there were street gangs everywhere, and there were particular subway lines, which were like the veins and arteries of the city for the working class people. It was the only way to travel, because an average working class person could not afford a cab, could not afford a limousine, could not afford a rental car. So what you would do is you would take the subways. And there was a number 4 train, which had been nicknamed the Muggers Express, the number 2 train, the Beast, the D train for danger. And all of these subway lines passed the McDonald's restaurant that I was managing at night. And at that point, in 1979, New York City was on the brink of fiscal insolvency. It was ready to declare Chapter 11, which is bankruptcy here in the United States. They were cutting back on the hiring of police. They were laying off police. They were firing police. And so, in essence, late at night on the subway system from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning, the off-peak hours, the mayor had announced that there would not be any uniformed police officers patrolling. This was an invitation to criminals to just come on and stalk many of the riders, rob them, maraud them, and there was a sense of lawlessness at night. So because I had been very successful in developing other volunteer programs, street cleanups, beautification of neighborhoods, planting of trees, boarding up of abandoned buildings, all of that very supported by the community and supported by the elected officials, I figured I would take the next step and organize these same young people into patrolling the subways, which again was critical to the way people would come and go to work or play or to their house of worship and begin to do so at night. We met a flood of criticism by the cops who had been fired because they felt we were threatening their job security. The unions that represented them, they didn't want to see volunteers there. The mayor and the elected officials who felt this was like a slap in the face, an indictment against their ability to do the job. The elderly and middle-aged people that we were there to help, they were terrified of us because they just assumed, oh, these are black and Hispanic and white teenagers and Asian teenagers. They must be thugs. They must be a gang. So they were terrified of us. And the gangs, the legitimate gangs, they wanted to kill us. So everywhere you looked, we had enemies. We had adversaries. And the very people we were trying to voluntarily help, they would literally at times run away from us. We would enter a subway train. And let's say there were a woman with 2 children there. She would clasp her pocketbook. She would grab her children's hands. And they would run off to the next car of the train, terrified of us, assuming that we were like the Savage Nomads, the Black Spades, any number of different youth gangs that used to ride the subways on a regular basis and mug, rape, pillage, and rob.
There are far fewer angels on patrol on the subway today. And Sliwa thinks that the real problem areas nowadays are the city's housing projects and schools. There is a certain irony in this, as he believes that a lack of education is one of the key causes of violence.
I see this increasingly as a dilemma, because when I go to youthful detention facilities for young adults or to prisons for adults, I notice there is one common linkage between young men and older men who are in jail, and now increasingly younger ladies and older ladies. They can't read. They're not educated. They can't write. 50% or more are incapable of communicating, are incapable of understanding concepts and ideas because they have no ability to read or write. So now, yeah, they're languishing around in jail like 22 hours a day doing nothing. And they can't even read. They can't even write a letter. I mean, think of the frustration and the anger that they must have, particularly in America. Back in 1979, I was a night manager of a McDonald's in the South Bronx. And you couldn't get into a worse neighborhood than the South Bronx in New York City in 1979. There were burning buildings, there were street gangs everywhere, and there were particular subway lines, which were like the veins and arteries of the city for the working class people. It was the only way to travel, because an average working class person could not afford a cab, could not afford a limousine, could not afford a rental car. So what you would do is you would take the subways. And there was a number 4 train, which had been nicknamed the Muggers Express, the number 2 train, the Beast, the D train for danger. And all of these subway lines passed the McDonald's restaurant that I was managing at night. And at that point, in 1979, New York City was on the brink of fiscal insolvency. It was ready to declare Chapter 11, which is bankruptcy here in the United States. They were cutting back on the hiring of police. They were laying off police. They were firing police. And so, in essence, late at night on the subway system from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning, the off-peak hours, the mayor had announced that there would not be any uniformed police officers patrolling. This was an invitation to criminals to just come on and stalk many of the riders, rob them, maraud them, and there was a sense of lawlessness at night. So because I had been very successful in developing other volunteer programs, street cleanups, beautification of neighborhoods, planting of trees, boarding up of abandoned buildings, all of that very supported by the community and supported by the elected officials, I figured I would take the next step and organize these same young people into patrolling the subways, which again was critical to the way people would come and go to work or play or to their house of worship and begin to do so at night. We met a flood of criticism by the cops who had been fired because they felt we were threatening their job security. The unions that represented them, they didn't want to see volunteers there. The mayor and the elected officials who felt this was like a slap in the face, an indictment against their ability to do the job. The elderly and middle-aged people that we were there to help, they were terrified of us because they just assumed, oh, these are black and Hispanic and white teenagers and Asian teenagers. They must be thugs. They must be a gang. So they were terrified of us. And the gangs, the legitimate gangs, they wanted to kill us. So everywhere you looked, we had enemies. We had adversaries. And the very people we were trying to voluntarily help, they would literally at times run away from us. We would enter a subway train. And let's say there were a woman with 2 children there. She would clasp her pocketbook. She would grab her children's hands. And they would run off to the next car of the train, terrified of us, assuming that we were like the Savage Nomads, the Black Spades, any number of different youth gangs that used to ride the subways on a regular basis and mug, rape, pillage, and rob.
There are far fewer angels on patrol on the subway today, and Sliwa thinks that the real problem areas nowadays are the city's housing projects and schools. There is a certain irony in this, as he believes that a lack of education is one of the key causes of violence.
I see this increasingly as a dilemma, because when I go to youthful detention facilities for young adults or to prisons for adults, I notice there is one common linkage between young men and older men who are in jail, and now increasingly younger ladies and older ladies, they can't read. They're not educated. They can't write. 50% or more are incapable of communicating, are incapable of understanding concepts and ideas because they have no ability to read or write. So now, yeah, they're languishing around in jail like 22 hours a day doing nothing. And they can't even read. They can't even write a letter. I mean, think of the frustration and the anger that they must have, particularly in America.
You now have 1 minute and 15 seconds to transfer your answers to the answer sheet.